Highland Falls, El Paso, Clarksville, Watertown, and from other important military capitals around the globe, Eye on Defense brings the top military and defense issues into focus. Eye on Defense is proudly sponsored by Big Sarge Pre-Owned TA-50 Emporium and The Last Hope Jewelry and Pawn. And now, citizens of Earth, brace yourselves for the next episode of Eye on Defense. Defense, 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 defense.
All right, we're back. It's 4 March, evening of 4 March. It's episode 237, I think. Shouldn't keep you long tonight. Only 9 stories. We have 2 stories from Iran. We hardly do any stories from Iran, but here's 2. We'll start with the Red Sea update, 4 March from CENTCOM X on 4 March at approximately 0215 a.m. local time. Iranian-backed Houthi terrorists fired an anti-ship ballistic missile from Yemen into the southern Red Sea. Missile impacted the water with no reported damage or injuries to commercial or U.S. Navy ships. Between the hours of 3:50 p.m. and 4:15 p.m. local time, Iranian-backed Houthis terrorists fired 2 anti-ship ballistic missiles from Yemen into the Gulf of Aden at MV MSC Sky 2, a Liberian-flagged Swiss-owned container vessel. One of the missiles impacted the vessel, causing damage. Initial reports that there are no injuries. The ship did not request assistance and continued on its way. At 8 p.m. local time, CENTCOM forces conducted self-defense strikes against 2 anti-ship cruise missiles that presented an imminent threat to merchant vessels and the U.S. Navy ships in the region. I thought the Houthi terrorists didn't like U.S. and Israeli ships. Why are they firing at a Swiss-owned ship, Liberian-flagged? Anyway, on to Israel about the hostage negotiations. Of course, Ramadan's coming up very soon, 7 days away. Here's Times of Israel, Emmanuel Fabian, 4 March. Egypt claims progress in hostage talk with Hamas as Sinwar said to go silent. Mediators and envoys from the Hamas terror organization have made significant progress toward a truce in Gaza, Egyptian state-linked TV reported on Monday. Today, as the latest round of talks in Cairo enter their second day, though concerns were mounting that the Hamas leader in Gaza, Sinwar, will purposely forego a deal in order to further destabilize the region. Egypt, Qatar, and the United States have been mediating in talks for a temporary ceasefire and hostage release deal, and then the almost 5-month war between Israel and Hamas. An unnamed senior Egyptian official told Egypt's Al Qahira News on Monday that Egypt continues its intense efforts to reach a truce before Ramadan, the holy Muslim month beginning on 10 or 11 March. Although mediating parties have been scrambling to finalize a deal before Ramadan, an unnamed Hamas official told the Wall Street Journal on Sunday that it seemed unlikely a deal will come to fruition by then. Instead, the official said the first weekend of the month-long holiday was a more realistic target. Israel did not send a negotiating team to Cairo after receiving an unsatisfactory response from Hamas on the latest framework hammered out in Paris last weekend. The terror organization refused to address Jerusalem's demand for a list of living hostages and to lock down how many Palestinian prisoners Israel must release for every hostage freed. Hamas Politburo member Bassem Nail claimed in an interview with the BBC posted Monday that the reason why the terror group has not drawn up a list of living hostages is because it does not know who is alive and where all the hostages are. Here's a quote: "We did not until now submit any list. But first of all, technically and practically, it's been impossible to know exactly who is still alive and who has been killed because of the Israeli bombardment or who has been killed because of starvation because of the blockade." He claimed his hostages are in different areas with different groups and said the group would not be able to collect all the data on them until a ceasefire is called. Addressing the second source of Israeli frustration with the talks, a Hamas official told Arab World Press that the ball is in Israel's court on the hostage talks and that the group has presented a criteria for Palestinian prisoners it wants to see released. Hamas did not, however, give name of specific prisoners it wants to see released, but a list will include at least 20 Palestinians serving life sentences. It is believed that 130 hostages abducted by Hamas on 7 October remain in Gaza. Not all of them are alive. In addition to concerns that no framework for a deal have been deemed satisfactory to both sides, Wall Street Journal reported that Hamas's leader in Gaza, Sinwar, has not made contact with the terror group's negotiating team in over a week. According to the report, the last time Sinwar spoke to Hamas leadership in Qatar, he said there was no rush to secure a hostage deal, as he hoped the continued war and the inevitable IDF operation in Rafah would cause Palestinians in the West Bank and Arab Israelis to launch an uprising inside Israel. Let's stop right there. What's next? First of our Iran stories, Sudan rejects Iran's bid for Red Sea naval base. This is from the Sudan Tribune. It's an older story, February 3, but I saw it somewhere and I looked it up and I thought it was newer than this. But anyway, Iran's attempt to establish a permanent naval base in Sudan's Red Sea coast was rejected, highlighting the complex power dynamics at play in the war-torn East African country. This is from the Wall Street Journal. According to a Sudanese intelligence official, Iran offered Sudan advanced weaponry, including a helicopter-carrying warship, in exchange for permission to build a base. The official from Sudan is Ahmad Mohammed said the base would have allowed Iran to gather intelligence and station warships near the vital Suez Canal in Israel. Sudan, however, declined the offer, citing concerns about potentially alienating the United States and Israel, with whom the country has recently sought to improve relations. While Iran's request was denied, it underscores the strategic impact and importance of Sudan, particularly its Red Sea coastline, for regional powers. Now, there's a civil war going on in Sudan between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. Sudan's military has utilized Iran-supplied explosive drones to combat the RSF in the conflict, which means rapid support forces. It's actually not a bad name. Meanwhile, the United Arab Emirates, UAE, is accused by the Sudanese government of supplying weapons to the RSF, but UAE officials deny these accusations. Wall Street Journal reported that Egypt has trained Sudanese troops and provided drones. The rejection of Iran's base requests and the involvement of other regional actors like Egypt and UAE highlight Sudan's complex and volatile situation. Sudanese government officials blame Washington for turning a blind eye on the UAE support to the RSF, saying the Biden administration first has to curb UAE support before saying something about their limited military cooperation with Iran. Who all knew that was going in Sudan? All that stuff was going on. I did not know. Next Iran story. Iran shows off naval guns, missiles, and UAV called Gaza at the Qatari Defense Show. One representative at Tehran's expansive booth told Breaking Defense the weapons are available to export basically to any country except two countries, the United States and Israel. This is from Agnes Helou on 4 March. Iran has made a rare appearance at the Middle East Defense Show with an extensive stand in Qatar showing array of arms, full-size naval weapons, models of unmanned aerial vehicles, including one called a Gaza. Iran unveiled the Gaza in 2021, but the current model is making its debut at the Doha International Maritime Defense Exhibition and Conference, known as DIMDEX 24. Representatives at Iran's stand told Breaking Defense that the Gaza is a medium altitude, low endurance. It's male, M-A-L-E, medium altitude. I think it's long endurance, not low. UAV has a payload capability of 500 kilograms and purportedly is already operational. According to officials at the stand, the drone has satellite communication at a maximum flight altitude of 35,000 feet. It also has an airborne synthetic aperture radar meant to detect surface and underwater targets and can be equipped on the platform. Iran also aimed to signal its arms prowess with a 20-millimeter naval machine gun and a 12.74-barrel artillery system. I don't think 12.74-barrel artillery system. I think that might be an air defense system. All the systems at the stand are developed and produced by Iran, and one official said are open to export to any country except for, you guessed it, the United States and Israel. Tehran also made a point to show the 7 Cordad medium-range air defense system, which purportedly shot down an American MQ-4C Triton in 2019. And ironically, their stand is just yards away from the American defense contractor, Northrop Grumman, which makes the Triton. No actual naval vessels were on display, but mock-ups of ships of different sizes were shown, including a fast intercept boat, the CM-90, a midget submarine, and a 94-meter frigate vessel showing a helicopter dock. Next to brochures about Iran's different weapons in different languages, including Arabic and Russian, the Ministry of Defense debuted the CM-35A anti-ship missile, as well as an airborne version with a purported maximum range of 35 kilometers. Iran was also advertising a number of ballistic missiles, including the AD-200, the BM-250, the BM-125, and the BM-300. Rifles, including Iranian-built AK-47s and machine guns, also took part in the stand. Pretty good article there. I think I'd like to go to Doha one time. I think it's in Doha, right? I thought I saw it. Anyway, yep, it's in Doha, in Qatar. I'd probably like to go to that one time. Moving on. Netherlands. Netherlands plans 4 air defense frigates from Rudy Rutenberg, 1 March. Defense News. Netherlands plans to buy 4 air defense frigates for more than 3.8 billion U.S. or 3.5 billion euro to replace its current fleet. That's from Dutch Secretary of State Christopher van der Maat. He said in a letter to Parliament on Friday. Pardon me, I'm drinking some water. The Dutch Defense Ministry intends to work with local shipbuilder Damen Naval for the naval platform and with Thales for the above-water warfare system. The 4 existing air defense frigates will be replaced one by one, with the first new vessel expected by 2036. The Dutch government is also in discussion about cooperation with other European countries seeking to replace frigates, in particular Denmark, Germany, and Norway. They want to cooperate, and this cooperation could include joint development and construction, as well as joint purchasing, training, and maintenance. The Netherlands is taking the lead on these ships, but we would welcome other countries joining us, van der Maat said in a video statement. The first delivery is scheduled for 2034 at the latest, with the final of the 4 air defense frigates become operational in 2041. This means their current fleet will have to sail for 2 more years than initially planned. The Netherlands plans to use some of the equipment being installed to modernize its existing air defense frigates, including 2 new active phase array radars and 4 127mm cannons against surface targets. Jesus. I'm going to have to look that up. 4 × 127mm. Replacement frigates have layered air defense and additionally will be equipped with Tomahawk cruise missiles as well as Kongsberg naval strike missiles. New frigates will have long-range weapons at their disposal, enabling them to attack important enemy targets inland from a great distance. The new ships will also include defense against hypersonic weapons, which is not part of the budget due to still being in development. The Netherlands is part of the Hypersonic Defense Interceptor Study Project led by pan-European missile maker MBDA. That's a good little story there. But I want to look at this 4x127mm cannon. Next, Poland. I haven't done a story about Poland for a while. Poland signs $2.5 billion air defense battle system deal, plans new fleet of light recon vehicles. Bart Glowacki, 1 March. We've kind of referred to this integrated air and missile defense battle command system back and forth here and there. I think we've talked about Poland being the first to receive it. Well, Poland on Thursday signed a $2.5 billion deal for the American Integrated Air and Missile Defense Battle Command System, which is the second phase of the nation's Wisła and Nauru air defense programs. We'll get to that in a second. The signing, attended by top Polish defense officials and the U.S. Ambassador to Poland, came a day after the Polish Ministry of National Defense announced a framework for a fleet of 286 light armored reconnaissance vehicles. led by a consortium of Polish entities led by automaker AMZ Kutno. We'll get to those vehicles in a second. The deal for the IBCS, which is primarily made by Northrop Grumman, includes command and communications equipment to work with the six Wisła air defense systems, which is the Polish name for the Patriot system, and 23 Nauru short-range air defense systems, SHORADs, made by a partnership between MBDA UK and Polish industry. The IBCS deal is expected to run from now until 2031. And about the vehicles, the IBCS announcement followed another from Polish government on Wednesday, last Wednesday, concerning framework for an agreement to acquire a fleet of nearly 300 new recon vehicles by 2035. The military is buying 286 light armored reconnaissance carriers. The new vehicles intend to replace the Burdom II amphibious armored scout car and their Polish modification called the Wildcat and the Jackal. The Burdom II is an old Soviet vehicle. These vehicles are over 30 years old based on Soviet designs. They're not believed to provide adequate protection in modern fight. The new light armor reconnaissance carriers are 7 meters long, 2.5 meters wide, and 2.4 meters high. It's a 4x4 wheeled vehicle that can carry five soldiers, go 90K on a paved road. The lighter of two variants of the vehicles can float in water and travel 7K on the water, 7 kilometers per hour. The vehicle's extensive equipment, including a tactical battlefield reconnaissance radar, optoelectric turret, as well as communication and data processing subsystem, can be used to process and transmit encrypted reconnaissance data. I wonder what this tactical battlefield radar is. I don't know. Good question. That's it. Moving on. U.S. Navy inks kind of a domestic story here. U.S. Navy inks $3.4 billion deal for 17 P-8s. For Canada and Germany. The deal will see 14 new planes go to Canada and 3 go to Germany. This is from Justin Katz, Breaking Defense. The Navy on Thursday awarded Boeing a contract worth $3.4 billion. The Navy on last Thursday, awarded Boeing a contract worth $3.4 billion for the procurement of 17 P-8 Poseidon maritime surveillance aircraft. Majority of those planes, 14, will go to Royal Canadian Air Force. The three remaining P-8s will go to Germany's Navy fleet. The P-8 is derived from the Boeing's commercial 737, was originally developed for the U.S. Navy, which uses it for anti-submarine warfare, anti-surface warfare, and ISR, which is intelligence surveillance reconnaissance. Canada first selected the P-8 in November of 23, and has stated it expects the aircraft to be fully operational in its fleet by 2033. These P-8s will replace Canada's current fleet of CP-140 Auroras. And the first plane is on track for delivery in 2026. Germany started buying the P-8 in June of 21 and inked a deal for 5 aircraft at the time. And this new deal will bring it up to a fleet of 8 aircraft, according to Boeing. The first aircraft is scheduled for delivery in 2025, and they will replace the country's P-3 Orions. In addition to the United States, Canada, and Germany, the P-8s are also flown by Australia, India, UK, Norway, New Zealand, and Republic of Korea. With all 9 countries flying a global fleet of roughly 200 airplanes. And that one's there. 18 minutes. Yeah, this is going to be a super quick episode. 2 more stories left. This one's from Thailand. Thailand's Air Force unveils a new wish list on new jets and drones. All about Thailand Air Force, this article. Gordon Arthur, 1 March. Royal Thai Air Force has laid out future aspirations in a document released 29 February with counter-drone systems, new fighter jets, and medium-range air defense systems among the most pressing concerns. This was all spelled out in a 74-page white paper which the service unveiled during its annual symposium this week. In the white paper, the Air Force gives priority to medium-range air defense systems possessing a minimum 30 nautical mile range from FY25 to FY28. And then from FY28 to 32, the force plans on buying a short-range air defense system boasting gun, missile, and laser weapons. And then from FY33 to 37, long way out, The service plans to carry out a second phase for a medium or long-range air defense system. The Royal Thai Air Force is also eyeing 12 to 14 new fighters to replace the F-16 jets of 102 Squadron based at Korat. The procurement is scheduled to take place from FY25 to FY34, not too far away. The current F-16s that are being used by this 102 Squadron are from the late 80s and are supposed to be retired by 28. Two contenders have emerged for this aircraft requirement, Lockheed Martin F-16 Block 7072 and Saab's Gripen. There's also a second fighter replacement project for 12 to 14 aircraft, scheduled from FY31 to 35 to replace the F-5EF jets of 211 Squadron at Ubon, and they're supposed to be retired by the end of the decade. Thailand tries to maintain relations with several competing nations, including the United States, China, Russia, and India, the white paper noted. Thailand previously purchased material with an E, from China, such as armored vehicles, air defense systems, and a submarine. Getting back to the Air Force, loitering munitions are also scheduled for purchase by 26, as well as medium combat drones from 26 to 29 and a high-altitude pseudo-satellite from 24 to 35. Almost done here. The Air Force also mentioned procurement programs for micro and nano drone swarms from 26 and a research and development effort for weaponized tactical drones from FY29. Two Saab 340B airborne early warning aircraft are to receive enhanced communication and control capabilities with their dorsal mounted radars to be replaced. This will take place from FY26 to 29. They're spending some money. The FY24 defense budget calls for $5.5 billion U.S., and part of that $5.5 billion, $1 billion of it is for the Air Force, and that's where it's all going, supposedly. Last story, 22 minutes. It's about the next-gen rifle. We haven't done a story about this for a while. This is Soldiers Test next-gen squad weapon in extreme cold weather. Older story, 29 Feb. I think this is Defense News. Soldiers in Alaska recently tested the Army's newest rifle and automatic rifle in minus 35 Fahrenheit conditions as weapons approach fielding to the 101st Airborne Division later this year. Troops fired the XM7 and the XM250 automatic rifle, part of the Next Generation Squad Weapon Program at the Cold Regions Test Center, Fort Greely, Alaska. This testing started in late January and ran through 9 Feb. So the XM7 is going to replace the M4, and the XM250 is going to replace the M249 SAW, basically. Here's a quote from Major Brandon Davis, a member of the Soldier Lethality Cross-Functional Team. Extreme cold weather can affect the weapon's functionality, of course, but it also hinders a soldier's movement and mobility. So which sling does he or she prefer in these conditions? Can he or she effectively manipulate the widgets on the weapon wearing gloves? We're getting after every aspect of how the next generation squad weapon impacts lethality and mobility under extreme conditions. The XM7 will replace the M4 carbine, while the XM250 will replace the M249 squad automatic weapon. We just talked about that. Both of these new weapons are chambered in 6.8 millimeter and slated for the close combat forces such as infantry, special operations, scouts, combat engineers, combat medics, and forward observers. Now, we talked about that a long time ago. The close combat force, 100K force, CCF, that's where all these new rifles are going to. Both weapons come with an advanced fire control dubbed the XM157, which houses a ballistic computer to help shooters compensate for bullet drop and distance. In 2022, the Army chose Sig Sauer to build the two weapons and produce 6.8 ammunition until the service upgrades the Lake City Army Ammunition Plant with a production line devoted to 6.8 millimeter. Also in 2022, the service chose the Vortex Optics sheltered wings to provide the XM157 fire control. I think this fire control is on both weapons. I think you can even use the fire control on an M4, but I don't know. The 10-year weapons contract has a ceiling value of $4.5 billion, and the M157 fire control is $2.7 billion. The M4 and SAW are expected to remain the primary small arms of non-close combat forces for coming decades, so the SAW and the M4 are not going anywhere. The service has scheduled testing for next-generation squad weapon in extreme heat and humidity later this year, according to the release. That's it. 9 stories. I had another one, but nah, I'm not going to do it. Probably not worth doing anyway. All right, 25 minutes. A short episode, but a good episode. So I'll stop right there. That's episode 237 of the books. Thank you very much for listening and good night.